Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cara, acne can be tough. Whether your kid is just starting to get breakouts or has been struggling with them for years, there's a great product that can help.
Phyla is the ultimate game changer. It tackles acne right at its root cause, rebalancing the skin's bacteria and packing it with probiotic phages.
Phyla harnesses the superpowers of probiotics, tiny warriors targeting and wiping out the acne-causing bacteria. In studies, Phyla slashed acne-causing bacteria by a whopping 90%.
Phyla doesn't just fix acne you can see. It stops new breakouts in their tracks. It has no harsh chemicals and won't irritate or dry most skin. Phyla's three-step system is like a dermatologist-approved magic potion. Cleanse, apply serum, and moisturize twice a day.
As a special treat for our listeners, you can grab 25% off your first order of Phyla. Head over to phylabiotics.com, enter code PUBERTY at checkout, and kickstart your family's journey to acne-free skin. Check out the link in our show notes for quick access.
Hi, I'm Cara Natterson.
And I'm Vanessa Kroll Bennett.
And we are obsessed with flipping puberty positive.
Puberty is a stage of life best described as a roller coaster of physical and emotional shifts. It happens to literally every human being on earth. And it shouldn't be cringy. It should feel, you know, pretty comfortable.
Which is why we started this podcast and a newsletter, and why we film slightly ridiculous but informative social media videos.
It's why we have a brand that makes clothes that literally feel so comfortable, and why we write books too. Our latest is This Is So Awkward, Modern Puberty Explained.
We have built a universe of puberty positivity, and it all started with this podcast.
We are so happy that you're here. It's an incredible privilege to have for this episode Kate Parker, who is an incredible photographer, an Iron Man, Iron Woman, a former D1 soccer player, a mom, a wife, and a New York Times bestselling author, whose new book, Force of Nature, is out this week, and it is extraordinary, and it is part of several works that she has put out into the world that give us hope and inspiration. Strong as the New Pretty, The Heart of a Boy, Play Like a Girl. And I have basically stalked Kate since the beginning of the pandemic because she gave me such hope and we have become friends. And Cara got to meet her for this episode.
Now we've become friends. I have to add that, you know, when you do a podcast and you're speaking to an author who works in a visual medium, you never know how the conversation is going to go. This conversation has as much heart and soul as Kate's images. So enjoy.
Cara.
Vanessa.
My favorite people in the world who I have not yet met in person. This is going to be crazy, but I will be meeting her in person very, very soon. The photographer, writer, athlete, parent, Kate Parker, is here with us this week to talk about her extraordinary new book, Force of Nature.
Which is so beautiful. I just can't stop flipping through these pages. So I'm going to let you guys talk and I'm just going to flip through pages here.
Cara's just going to sit serenely through the photography. Hi, Kate.
I'm so glad to be here. I'm very excited. I'm big fans of both of yours, big fans of your book and the work that you all do. So really excited to be a part of this. So thank you for having me.
Thank you for putting your beautiful work into the world. So you heard our intro of Kate. Many of you have probably seen her other amazing books, Strong as the New Pretty, The Heart of a Boy, Play Like a Girl. They're all incredibly impactful. Kate, tell us a little bit about your journey as a human being, as an athlete, as a parent, so that we can kind of set the book in that context.
Oh, sure. So I'm the youngest of four kids, and I have two older brothers that were giant soccer players. I was just doing everything I could to keep up with them. And, you know, like any younger sister, I think a lot with older brothers, you got to kind of be tough to keep up. You know, they don't really make a lot of accommodations. And I learned a lot from that. They both played college soccer. I played college soccer. I loved so much that the things that were liabilities as, you know, as a kid growing up in the maybe the 80s and the 90s that were liabilities for a girl, like that I was really loud. I had a bit of a temper and I was like, would not give up, were all things that were made me a really good soccer player. And I'm forever grateful to the sport that I did not lose those parts of my personality, because they have served me immeasurably as a mom, as an adult, as a business owner, as, you know, as everything, as an author, everything that I have to do. I'm so thankful. I basically, you know, I didn't start taking pictures until I had my children. I have two girls. One is 18, she's a freshman in college, and one is 15, freshman in high school. And I started taking pictures. I taught myself how to shoot when they were brand new, and I needed something as a mom. I needed a creative outlet. And I started shooting these series of photos. We live in Georgia, and I did not grow up in Georgia. And I saw a lot of imagery. And I don't know that it's special to the South, but just at least where we were, a lot of the images of little girls, they were perfect. And their hair was brushed and their hair was curled and they had a perfect dress on and everybody was smiling. And I was like, that was not the kind of kid I was. That was not the kind of girls I was raising. And I really focused on taking pictures of the girls when they were emotional. They weren't necessarily smiling for the camera. They were muddy. They were crying and screaming. Mm-hmm. And they were powerful. They were fully themselves. And that project turned into a larger project of not just my girls, but girls all over the country. And it became a book called Strong as New Pretty. And that's really what kind of jumpstarted my career in this space and trying to show the confidence and the power that girls have.
And it really loops back to that very nascent opening comment you made about the qualities that made you a successful athlete and that have translated into your parenting skills are qualities that are oftentimes demonized, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Loud, right? Forceful, yes. Powerful, strong. You know, you have to have your head in the sand and you have to have had it there for two decades to not know that those attributions in one gender are considered outstanding and positive, and in another gender get weaponized and they're very negative. And so you're, you know, everything you do flips the narrative to show us that what we know to be true in our own bodies and brains and our own families. There isn't a person on earth who hasn't met a strong, emotional in all the best ways, passionate woman. Everyone knows many. So you're just giving people the opportunity to stop and to see it and to begin to rewrite the narrative, which is really your through line.
Right.
And Cara didn't mention, but she is also a girl with three brothers. I'm raising a daughter with three brothers. And I was actually at a gathering, Kate, the other night with many generations of women who played on my high school soccer team, because our coaches of that era were gathering with a group of us. And my sister and I were the only women in that room who had sisters. We were the only women who had a sister. Every other woman in that room who were, you know, the captains over many generations of this team, not a single one of them had a sister.
Interesting. interesting.
It was so fascinating. And I say that not in a bad way. I say it in a beautiful way because they talked about the relationship between their grittiness and their perseverance on the field and later in life over many, many, many years of becoming hardworking people and the importance of finding sisterhood on their teams, on that team in particular, because they did not have a built-in sister. And so it's just fascinating to me to look at the two of you and think about the ways in which you lift
fierce
other women
soccer
up.
Soccer player that I am.
Yes. Cara's fierce in other ways, but she would be the last picked on my club soccer team.
This is true. But first picked on many of your other teams.
On all of my other teams,
there
as long
go.
As they don't involve playing sports. So I want to dig in a little bit because you and I both share this passion. I mean, this is really how we originally connected. I may have stalked you on Instagram during the pandemic because I was like, I need to be friends with this woman. She's so incredible. What is happening? I want to dig into what you talked about your own upbringing. And then I want to talk about kind of the state of girlhood and sure. womanhood in the world today. Why is force of nature important? Why is this book and your other books important? And what is going on in the reality of these kids that makes this work so important?
I mean, I think for me, the impetus behind Force of Nature was the cover image, which I'll describe a little bit, it's a photo of actually of my youngest daughter, and she's screaming and she has her arms like she's taking up space. She's it's actually her screaming in a rainstorm. She's in a bathing suit. Her hair is wet. Her eyes are closed. She is fully in her power. She's probably 5 years old. It's a black and white photo. And she's fully in her power. Does not care what people think of her. She doesn't care if the neighbors can hear her screaming. She just is like enjoying this thing she is doing fully. And that image was stolen from me. It was memed. I can't even count how many times. I remember the first time it happened, I went to go check like the Facebook page. It had been shared like 40,000 times in a week. And the copy, they had taken the image and they had written the copy, "Remember her, she's still there. You can go get her." Or something very similar. And cut to, and it kept getting shared and shared and shared, and cut to like maybe 6 months later. And I have this image in my house. I have it framed in my house. It's a picture I took. It's my daughter. Somebody was coming to give us an estimate. Our dogs had eaten all of our carpet upstairs. So we were getting a carpet upstairs. It's a very glamorous life we live over here. And the lady pointed at the photo and said, "I have that framed in my house too. I saw it on the internet and I printed it out and I really liked how it made me feel." And I was like, immediately, like, this, whatever this feeling is the what I want my next book to be about. For me, and I've since having shot the book, so women are included in, it's probably like 90% kids under 18 or girls under 18, and then maybe 10% women. But for me, it is that combination of informing our girls of their power, of that power of their voice to change things that are not right for them. And that reminder to women of those moments that we feel like that. We feel like we are confident that we did at one time, but we maybe lost it along the way. And it's, I want that combination of both. So that was sort of, for me, why I wanted to do this book. I was like, this is obviously resonating with people mm-hmm. in a very visceral way. And I wanted to sort of clue into that, whatever that feeling was.
One thing that's amazing about the image is that it's joyful,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's all the things you described. It's screaming, it's power, it's all the calls, and it's joyful, you know,
right.
like stuck in the middle of a rainstorm. And the first, when you flip through the book, the very first picture you come to in the book, which is where the table of contents is a very different kind of picture, but equally joyful. So not that every image in the book is joyful because it's not, but like you capture. So, I mean, as a pediatrician, I'm just going to say this second picture was my favorite because these kids are They are riding on a scooter, a purple scooter with their helmets, safety first. And there's one in the front and one in the back. And it stops a pediatrician to see two kids. There's a sense of speed in this, although it's really actually, I think, probably very safe speed given the circumstances and the purple scooter and the whole thing. But one, the kid who's driving is just determined like no other and cracking up a little bit. And the one on the back is just goofing off for the camera, right? Like just has this, every picture I take, mouth wide open, cracking up. And so it's this path through these images as you get into the book that are all, you do this thing where you combine strength and power with complete joy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Photographing kids, especially the joy that they have, and it's unbridled and it's contagious, and they haven't learned that I have to, I mean, I guess they do as they get older a little bit, that they're not tamping it down or trying to act cool. I know, like my girls will use, they'll call people tryhards. Mm-hmm. as a pejorative, and they'll say,
"Oh, it's the worst insult in their age."
I know, and when
we're all such tryhards too, oh my gosh, the three of us on this.
I was like, "I am a tryhard." I was like, "There's nothing better than somebody who's enthusiastic about something." And I'm like, "If you're ever unkind to anybody that is trying hard, I will be so disappointed in you." Because it's like, I just love it so much, and that's like one of the things I want to shoot. Tryhards all the time.
I've got a couple I know that I can recommend. They're staring right at you on Zoom. Kate, one of the things that we struggle with in talking about puberty and working with kids in puberty and working with adults who care for kids in puberty is feeling like this is a moment where people lose their voice and they lose their sense of impact and efficacy and joy and enthusiasm, and the skepticism creeps in and the social pressure creeps in and the self-consciousness creeps in. What did you notice shooting this book, doing all the work that you do with, I mean, not just beautiful children, but also the world's greatest women athletes and the most incredible pioneers in women's sports? What's like the, if you could distill some lessons that you learned from these folks, what would those lessons be about holding on to this feeling?
I would say one of the main things that I would recommend, or that I see that the girls that tend to not lose that confidence and that sense of self are the girls that are passionate about something. They found something that they have fully invested themselves in. Whether it's sports, whether it's art, whether it's singing, or like being good and fully immersed in something other than what your peers think of you or what boys say about you or girls say about you, I think is huge. Because a lot of time it gives you a group of friends outside the school, another social set. And I always feel like I get sort of a cheat code, because I tend to shoot kids doing the things that they are passionate about. Whether there's like some kids in this book, there's a girl that does TikToks on her disability. And like just interesting things that the kids are already comfortable. They're proud. Mm-hmm. There. And it's like, you get to see this other side of a child that maybe you wouldn't see in the classroom, or you wouldn't see if you just saw them in the grocery store. You get to see them where they feel fully alive and fully themselves. And I'm asking them to brag about it. Tell me, you know, and I want to shoot them fencing or whatever the thing is. It's important to them. And I love that I get to sort of help share that story. But I found that those kids tend to be happy. But so, you know, I've always tried to encourage my kids too, to whatever the thing is, I don't care what it is, just find something.
Cara, lately I have been lying awake at night. I'm physically exhausted, but I can't sleep because my mind is so wired with everything going on between work and my family. So I've added Magnesium Breakthrough to my nightly routine, and it actually helps calm my mind. It helps me get better sleep, and I wake up feeling better rested. I'm less cranky, and I'm more patient with my family and with you.
Oh, I've noticed. And it's because, unlike other magnesium supplements that might give one or two formulations of magnesium, Magnesium Breakthrough has 7. That's why you're sleeping so well and waking up refreshed. Now, dietary supplementation is always best, Vanessa. So that means eating your minerals and vitamins is the best way to get them in. But if you can't or you don't get enough, Magnesium Breakthrough is the way to go. It can also help digestion, though too much helps your digestion too much, which is not a good thing. It can support muscle recovery. So bye-bye, Charlie horses. And it helps build dense bones, which is especially important for women approaching and in menopause.
We have an exclusive offer for our listeners. You can go to buyoptimizers.com/puberty, buyoptimizers.com/puberty. And you can use the code PUBERTY10 during checkout to save 10%. That promo code is PUBERTY10 at buyoptimizers.com/puberty. Your body and brain and family and business partner will thank you.
Vanessa, we literally have 3 minutes to eat lunch every day. I am not joking. And the challenge is how to make it delicious and healthy and still fit into that tiny window. Our answer is Factor's ready-to-eat meals. They have been a godsend.
We throw our Factor meals in the microwave. It takes 2 minutes and out comes a gorgeous, fresh, never frozen meal. We both love the tamale vegetarian one. It's delish. There's a ton of options every week. There's 60 add-ons, breakfast, snacks, beverages. I love doing the wellness shots with my kids. They think it's hilarious, and I know they're getting vitamins and minerals in their bodies.
So get meals on your table or at your desk in 2 minutes or less. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, and cleaning. You can customize with flexibility to get as much or as little as you need, and you can press pause or reschedule depending upon your lifestyle.
So to order, go to factormeals.com/puberty50 and use the code puberty50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That code is puberty50 at factormeals.com/puberty50 to get 50% off your first box, 20% off your next box. And I am going to go do that right now because I need more Factor meals in my refrigerator.
Cara, my kids love Magic Spoon cereal. And even though it's cereal, they actually love it as a homework snack. The variety pack has 4 flavors, cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. And fruity is the favorite flavor in my house.
Now, this pack has 0 grams of sugar, between 13 and 14 grams of protein, and between 4 and 5 grams of net carbs per serving. It's made with wholesome ingredients, no artificial flavors or dyes, and it's high in protein, gluten-free, grain-free, and soy-free. So a great choice, Vanessa.
You can go to magicspoon.com/puberty to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our, you guessed it, promo code puberty at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident you're going to love their product. It's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they will refund your money. No questions asked. They do not want you to send their cereal back to them.
Try a bowl of Magic Spoon cereal today at magicspoon.com/puberty and use the code puberty to save $5. Do you have a favorite story, a favorite vignette, or something that just jumps to the front of your mind?
I was so impressed by this. And I think because I would have never in a million years contemplated doing anything like this when I was in high school. I shot a group of 4 high school seniors from Berkeley, California, that after Title IX was changed under the Trump administration, it basically allowed, it loosened the regulations for what was considered like sexual harassment in high schools. These girls were not happy about this. They hired a lawyer and sued the US government to change the law back. And I think that was one of the things that I was so impressed with. They recognized the wrong and they wanted to right the wrong. A lot of us, especially women, will sit in things maybe we recognize aren't right, but we don't know that we have the power to change it. So I want girls to understand their power And I love like little, like for me, like even little, it like triggered for me, like stuff like I was like, oh, wow, those girls are 17 and they're doing, and I was like, I need to speak up more in my life because this is, you know, it's their role models, honestly.
So we think a lot about what are the hurdles to helping kids, to supporting kids, to encouraging kids to be the fullest versions of themselves. And that challenge is different for every kid, right? For one kid, it's about their body. For one kid, it's about their learning disability. For another kid, it's about their family circumstances. And we can't control all of the hurdles and all of the issues. But what do you feel are some of the biggest hurdles that girls face today? You talked about girls you met who were fully invested in a special experience or hobby or passion. What about the girls who don't have that? What are the hurdles for them, Kate?
I mean, I think all the teenagers and all the kids these days are sort of facing the same hurdles of like feeling like they don't belong, feeling like they aren't part of the group. And I think it's changed from when, you know, when we were younger, is that home could be a safe space. If you didn't get invited, maybe you didn't know till Monday. But now, second, you aren't in a group chat or you see everybody's on Snap Maps at the same place. And I think just like social media makes them, make, there's no really safe place. And I don't know, I just feel like mental health is so much harder to, it's just harder to, for us and for them to like put it down and put it away and feel okay in the space you are in and not feel like so much FOMO or like left outedness, which is not a word, but, and I,
but it should be.
Yes. I don't know how to fix that or address that, or I mean, besides like limiting, you know, like the importance of how, of, you know, social media, but it is certainly a struggle that I see with these kids pretty constantly.
You work closely with a soccer team in the Atlanta area. It's a team of girls who are all immigrants to this country. And can you talk about this very special group of people and also what you've learned from working with them that might be different from the other athletes and folks that you photographed?
Yeah, it was funny. I shot a group of girls for my book called Play Like a Girl. And it was a program here in Atlanta that is basically all refugees. And they played on the soccer team. And they basically like learned, like helped them learn English, helped them make friends, helped them assimilate. And I recognized like, I only had a couple images in the book and I was like, gosh, there's this like so much more of a story here. And thankfully got to co-produce and co-direct a documentary short about this team called Homefield, and really got to like delve into the stories of these three girls who found themselves through the team and the sport. It honestly, like as different as our lives are, my lives and their lives, we got the same things out of this sport. Like there wasn't a girls team. They were playing on the boys team. And I remember the first time I met them, such a cool experience because it did not feel like I was in America. There was no English being spoken on this entire field. And so I asked the girls, I was like, hey, so do y'all come here every day? And they're like, yeah. Like they said it to me, like, don't be so stupid. Like soccer is our thing. I'm like, okay. And they did not back down from these they're teenage girls playing against teenage boys, which is generally not fair because the boys are faster and stronger and very rough. And these girls were tripping these boys. They were getting their elbows in. They were calling for the ball. You know, like you can hide on the soccer field, you know, and they were not hiding on that soccer field. And it was very impressive and just like kind of like the purest way. I've always loved soccer, but then I just made me love that sport even more for like what it could do for these girls who were also, interesting enough, had not played in their home countries. Mm. And a lot of them had to kind of hide that they were playing in America because culturally it was not, with some of the girls, it wasn't encouraged by their family.
Mm-hmm.
It's so interesting to think about the similarities between what your lens and what you see as a photographer and a storyteller. and our lens as puberty educators and informers, which you would not imagine there's a ton of Venn diagram overlap, but here's what I'm hearing in what you're saying. You have the benefit of watching all of these different kids around you and seeing them at all different very formative moments during especially their tween and teen years. So the majority of the kids who you photograph are in that decade-long demographic. And I wonder what lessons you've learned that you've taken home and said to your daughters, okay, I just saw this thing and I want to share it with you. And I hope you take from it X, Y, and Z. Like, because I have that all the time on the medical side. Vanessa has that all the time and the puberty storytelling side. You must have that all the time as a photographer who is bearing witness.
Oh, definitely. And I think for me, like the big takeaway is to find your lane. And then also within that, like we were talking about before about the tryhards, her lane doesn't work for you. And then mine doesn't work for you, but look at how cool hers is. Let's support her. And I think it's so hard for kids to not make fun of and dismiss and just sort of put down what other people do, because like, unless it's football or sports or like, it's really sort of, it's just, if maybe if it's not the mainstream, it's giving that kid the same thing that you have. And I feel like I get exposed to so many really interesting and cool things. Like in this book, for example, I shot an entire group. Well, they're not known as the Boy Scouts anymore. They're the Scouts. And it was a group of girl Scouts. Or not Girl Scouts, girl Scouts who are girls. Sorry, like to differentiate. I remember like when I went to go ask these girls, why the Scouts? Like, you know, because in my, I don't know a ton, like, well, why wouldn't you join the Girl Scouts? That seems to be the option. And they were just like, so matter of fact, they go, we like to camp. Girl Scouts don't camp. We didn't want to sell cookies. And I was like, all right, good for, like, just like, let's support these Scouts. They chose this thing and thank God they have each other. You know, they have a whole group of girls that all want to go camping and learn how to tie knots and learn how to make a makeshift tent or whatever. You know, like, I just think like supporting other people for finding their own path.
I love the framing of that, because sometimes when I come home and tell my kids an amazing story, they think I'm trying to transform them. Like, well, mom, but no, that's not my, and what the way you're framing it is so perfect. It's like, no, I just want to share this incredible thing that I saw. And whether it suits you or not, it's incredible. Let's go support this person. And you are right that kids are not necessarily socialized to be supportive first. In fact, sometimes that defense mechanism of if I can't do it, if I'm not physically able, if I'm not economically able, if I'm not logistically able, then I should put it down because that's a defense mechanism. Just teaching them how to strip that away and how to lift up instead of put down, like, right? That's the whole game. But it is a funny thing. And I'm sure the parents and caregivers who are listening to this conversation have lived it just as many times, right? You see something amazing, come home and say, this was this incredible thing. And the way the kids hear it is, you want me to be that. So I love your framing, which is like, start from the beginning. I'm not asking you to be this. I'm just sharing.
And also to recognize that they have all these very strict divisions and stratifications in their social structures, to recognize that just because you like theater and you like sports and that you would have nothing in common. Like, no, that's the thing. It's like, I try to tell my kids that all the time. I'm like, my friends in high school were probably the kids that all played sports with me. However, I am an adult now and I missed out on so many friends that I see now are doing really interesting things because our just social circles didn't interact. I wish I had known them when they were 17, you know, and to
the Breakfast Club.
Exactly. Exactly. I think it's maybe even more so stratified or just cut, like these kids are just in these little tiny pods, even more so through social media.
Kate, one of the hardest things for those of us caring for tweens and teens and young adults is to cut through the facade of what they're presenting us with and seeing their essence and seeing their essence without shame and without judgment. And somehow you do that in your photography and in your work. And I'm wondering, what advice can you give those of us who are maybe a little fed up, maybe feeling a little disconnected, maybe feeling like the kid living in our house is a stranger and we don't see them and we don't recognize them? How do you see these kids in the way that you do in order to photograph them? And how can you share that with the listeners?
Oh, that's such a great question. And it is really hard. As a parent of a teenager, I totally understand and empathize. And I would say the best thing is to meet them where they are. I am genuinely curious about their lives and their passions and their, because I am curious, but also I want to get a great quote. I want to make sure I'm photographing them in the appropriate setting. And I think if you come at these kids as fully fleshed out people, not their opinions matter. Their opinions are valid. The things they like, we're not dismissing that. And I think recognizing them as equal to you as an adult and talking to them in that way with respect, with curiosity, which is very hard sometimes when you are a parent of a teenager. I fully understand that. But it is easier because these are not my children and mm-hmm. they are not rolling their eyes at me generally. And but I really think being curious and accepting is such a huge part of it. And then also when you meet them where they are, like if I want to talk to my daughter, we're going to go shopping. We're going to go get our nails done. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily want to do either of those things. I mean, I do a lot of times want to do the things, but I mean, let's do the things that are interesting to you. And then we'll have a conversation on the way there. And then mm-hmm. we have a little chat after. You will open up because we're doing something that is, I recognize, I think they recognize that you're opening a door.
That's a great example. You said something just now. You said, treat them as if they're equals to adults, which I think is a very important and very subtle statement. Because what I'm understanding you're saying is emotionally, their emotions deserve as much cred as ours do. Their thoughts, their ideas, their feelings, their expression of their feelings. But you're not saying they're the adults. No. You're saying you can be the adult. You can take them shopping. You can do the thing and treat them in a way that shows them incredible respect and they will be their more authentic self with you, which is such a fine line. And maybe that's the fine line that I see in your work, which is, and you're right, you're not their parent. Like, again, another Venn diagram overlap. Vanessa and I have this all the time. When we go in and talk to kids who are not our children, they find what we say very interesting and highly believable. When we say these exact words to our own children, they la 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 their way through. But I think that piece that you're describing, it is conveyed in the imagery, which is, I see you. I mm-hmm. see who you are and who you want to be. And what's fascinating is this is a collection of different types of images. And as you're talking, I'm kind of running through a mental reel. And some of the images, the kids are posing because they want to. You can see that they want to stand in a certain way or cock their head in a certain way or be a certain, and then other images, they are not. And that's as authentic to them as any, it's really a remarkable reflection on a visual representation of what we all travel as the caregivers of these kids. I love that framing. Treat them as if they're adults, even though we know.
Yeah. I mean, they're not adults and we're not giving them adult responsibilities, but we are recognizing that their feelings are as important as our feelings. We're not minimizing them, which I think happens to kids a lot. And also just to let you both know, I don't know that either of my kids have ever looked at a single book of mine. And they're on the club.
we could make a book group of books our children have not read. I can just put a stack of them to start. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what the giveaway will be called. books that books none of our children have read.
No, books that our children have refused to read. Yes, how's that?
Actively yes. will not read.
Yes.
I mean, our latest book, Kate, this is Cara's 10th book, but it's mine. The book is dedicated to our children. And I don't know, 3 months after the book came out, my kids were like, oh, who'd you dedicate the book to?
Yeah, you're ahead of me.
I was like, if you cracked open the cover, you would know that we dedicated the books to you guys, but clearly you have not gotten that far. So thank you very much for confirming that.
Well, I don't know. You guys would know better than I do, but that's healthy, right? They're not taking a lot from, you know.
It's so healthy. And it's why we need a village of other adults who we love and trust to help the kids we're raising, because they hear a lot of what we say and they really care about a lot of what we say. And frankly, they're supposed to turn off some of what we say. And so when Vanessa says it to my children, it's hilariously funny and believable. And so perfect, right? Like go FaceTime Vanessa.
I get the question, what does Cara think I should do in this situation?
I hope you just make up an answer and say, Cara says.
I'm like, Cara says exactly what I say. Do what exactly. I say.
There we go.
So, Kate, thank you for putting this beautiful work into the world. And for those of you, there'll be a link to buy the book in the show notes and to follow Kate on Instagram. And Force of Nature is just one of many incredible contributions you've made to giving people voice and tapping into that feeling deep inside of us that reminds us of who we were, who we want to be, and hopefully who we can become again. So thank you for such a beautiful way of showing us a path in this world. We're so grateful to have you.
Oh, thank you guys. I feel like we're joining forces basically in the same, I don't know if it's a fight, but just like in the same march.
Dance.
Yeah. It's a climb. Yeah. It's a climb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had this amazing opportunity to take photos of Billie Jean King and Gloria Steinem talking to each other. And in between, oh my God, I know. Billie Jean King is in the book. I can't remember exactly who said it. I feel like it was Billie Jean. They were talking to each other, asking, I think Gloria said, what is it? How does it feel when you're passing the torch to someone else or the next generation of your fight? And Billie Jean said, I don't ever feel like I'm passing the torch. I feel like I'm just lighting everyone else's torches. So then our fire is so much bigger. And so I feel like I was like crying
I have chills.
It's such a cool way to think about it. So I feel like it's a very similar feel that we're doing very similar work.
So let's keep lighting lots of torches and making the light brighter and see if we can't make some change. Thank you, Kate.
Thank you, guys.
We absolutely love hearing your feedback and getting all your questions. So anytime you want to be in touch, email us at thepubertypodcast@gmail.com. If you're looking for great puberty products like the shorts or the socks or the bra, you get the theme there, go to myoomla.com. If you want more content, you love what we do on the Puberty Podcast, and you want to have us come speak or learn more about our book or subscribe to our amazing newsletter, The Awkward Roller Coaster, go to orderofmagnitude.co. Remember, it's .co because we don't have enough money to buy .com. Yet.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.